بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، علام شعراني in this work of his, he's compiled a number of narrations from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, hadith about the virtues of good company. And that's what we're looking at today, inshaAllah. The virtues of good company. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ahabba qawman hushira fi zumratihim." Anybody who loves a particular group of people, he will be gathered among them on the Day of Judgment. So, if a person loves people who, something as extreme as who sell drugs, somebody thinks that that's the way to make the money, that's the way to make a quick living, a person can buy all of these flashy clothing and cars and things like that. When a person gets used to these kind of things, so he may come from a family who's very religious and who's very disciplined and may not allow him to go into, there's no way he can go off the track as such, but secretly he desires to be like that. Or somebody's at work and he finds that there's many people at work who go and spend a lot of their money in the happy hours, in the evenings, spend it in the pubs and in the bars and things like that, womanizing and drinking and things of that nature. And although they don't do that because culturally that's not acceptable for them and they have an inhibition, but they feel like they wish they could do that. They wish they lived in another area. They're waiting to make more money so that they could move out of this area so that they won't be caught doing that. These are just some various different complex ideas that could come in people's minds. So to have a secret desire to be like someone, that's what this is speaking about. So likewise, on the positive side, we try our best to be righteous and pious and God-fearing and people of taqwa. But when we listen to the stories of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een after them, the Mashaykh and the great scholars and the Salaf Salihin thereafter, we feel we can't reach that status. But we have this love for them. We like to listen to their stories. We like to listen to their accounts and their narratives. And we feel like, I wish we could be with them. So that's a very positive and a very pious, very beneficial desire, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whenever a person loves a group of people, though he may not be able to be like them, then he will be gathered, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment among them. So having that kind of love is very beneficial indeed. Another narration as well, which is related from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is, again, this is all related by Imam Tabarani. Imam Tabarani, another hadith he relates is, "Inna lillahi al-mutahabuna fi Allahi fi dhillillahi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluh." Those people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in the shade of Allah, on the day when there's no shade except Allah's shade. عَلَى manabir min nur. So they won't just be in the shade, but they will be given an additional position, which is, they will be on raised platforms made of light. They will be given special raised platforms, stages made of light. يَفْزَعُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَفْزَعُونَ. People will be on that day in terror, because of just the situation of the day. So people will be in terror on the day, but they will not be in terror. Some years ago, in one of the countries in Asia, there was a clampdown. Suddenly, on the streets, you had all of these really expensive, exquisite cars being abandoned in the capital and around. Nobody wanted them anymore. They started abandoning them because there was major accountability that was taking place. There was a kind of an upheaval of sorts. So you can imagine that what may be a point of luxury at one time suddenly becomes a liability, and you're suddenly abandoning all of these cars. In this country it's difficult to do that because everything's registered, but in certain countries you can have many assets without any form of registry or registration in any form. So that's how that kind of a thing is possible. So here saying, يَفْزَعُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَفْزَعُونَ. People will be in huge amount of terror on the day, but these people will be not in terror, they'll be relaxed. First class VIP service on the Day of Judgment. Just because a person is spending their faith, spending their life with love for the right kind of people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any ulterior motives. That's the beauty here. There's no selfishness in this. It's all for the sake of Allah. Another narration, which is from Tabarani as well. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا لَيْسُوا بِأَنْبِيَاءَ وَلَا شُهَدَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's certain servants of His who are not prophets, neither are they martyrs. They're not destined to die as martyrs. Neither have they died as martyrs. يَغْبِطُهُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ عَلَى مَنَازِلِهِمْ وَقُرْبِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. But on the day of judgment, even the prophets and the shuhada, the prophets and the martyrs, will envy them because of their special place, status and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قِيلَ مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That raises a huge amount of curiosity. Who are these people who even prophets and martyrs, who are the highest category of believers we have, they will feel envious of them. Who are they, Ya Rasulullah? قَالَ نَاسٌ مِّن بُلْدَانٍ شَتَّى. These are people from different countries, different places. لَمْ تَصِلْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَرْحَامٌ مُتَقَارِبَةٌ. They have no kinship between them. There's no blood connection between these people. تَحَابُوا فِي اللَّهِ. But they get together and they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَصَافَحُوا. And when they meet, they make musafaha, they shake hands with each other. يَدْعُ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنَابِرَ مِن نُورٍ قُدَّامَ الرَّحْمَانِ فَيُجْلِسَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place for them on the day of judgment these high and raised seating places or platforms on which to sit, made of light, in front of Ar-Rahman, in front of the Most Merciful One, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seat them on there. يَفْزَعُونَ النَّاسُ وَلَا يَفْزَعُونَ. And this is the time when people will be in huge amounts of terror, but they will not have any terror. They will not have any grief. They will not grieve. People will grieve, but they will not grieve. Now this is something very important to understand. This hadith underscores the universal brotherhood of Islam. And subhanAllah, yes, we have our problems. And yes, the Muslim world is currently on fire. And there are people killing one another. And so on and so forth. And there are people fighting with one another. And quarreling with one another. Whether it's to do with the moon issue or the timing issue or whatever it may be. But still there is a universal brotherhood. There is no other religion right now in such a huge, large number with such diverse ethnicities and backgrounds and cultures that when you see another Muslim, you say, As-salamu alaykum, suddenly there's a melting that takes place. Suddenly there's a bonding that takes place. Wherever you go, whatever a person may harbor in their hearts, however evil a person is, as soon as you hear that As-salamu alaykum, brother, suddenly there is a connection. So recently, when we were in Senegal, so we are British of Indian heritage, sitting together with an individual who's from the African heritage. I think he's Wolof, his tribe. And there's a number of other people sitting there. He's our host. We've been taken to him by a common friend of ours. And we're sitting there, we've just met him within the hour. And he puts food forward, a large tray of couscous, you know, cracked wheat or whatever it is. And there's a number of other people from some different African countries like Chad and other places who are sitting there as well. And suddenly we all sit together and we eat from the same place. And this is with somebody you've only met an hour ago. Where would somebody share a plate with somebody else? It's unheard of. People don't share plates with their friends today in our culture here. But there, we're all eating from that large tray with our hands, not even with spoons, of multiple ethnicities, just because, and the only reason we're meeting each other is because I believe in Allah and he believes in Allah. We believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so does he. When we went to visit another scholar in the capital of Mauritania, Nouakchott, he's very old, he said, the reason you've come to visit me is because for the sake of Allah. And that's why I'm seeing you today. We have no other connection. So this is what this is underscored by. There's no blood connection. There's no blood connection. But we love each other for the sake of Allah. And subhanAllah, Allah has given us this ability in this country by being here in this cosmopolitan situation with the various tribes, various backgrounds, cultures, ethnicities, languages, cuisines that people come from. Like right now in this room, we have people from various different countries who are sitting here for the sake of the deen, inshaAllah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us a recipient of this great dignity and this great honor that is mentioned here. Now, another thing to clarify, another place like this I've seen is when you go for i'tikaf to an international location. You have people from literally 50 different countries down there. They've all come purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending their money and traveling purely for the sake of Allah. You go for Umrah, you go for Hajj, you go for Ijtima' to wherever that be, in Tongi, in Bangladesh, or whether it be in Raiwand in Pakistan, or wherever else. You go for these kind of conferences or these kind of programs together. No blood connection between you. You go there for the sake of the deen. If that's your reason, not for business, not for just anything else, but for halal networking, to get to know other brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshaAllah this is the case. The prophets and the martyrs will envy these people. Now, a valid question that arises here is that prophets and martyrs envying these people, but prophets and martyrs are the highest of the high. They are the elite. So why do they envy? I thought about this for a while. Sometimes what happens is, you are in a privileged position. You are in a privileged position. You've got many, many privileges at your disposal. But there are a group that's under you, or on the side, who have been given a different position. In all, comprehensively looking at it, you are in a higher position. They're in a lower position. But for some reason you're attracted to the particular privilege that they've been given. There's a certain perk that they're enjoying, which you can have access to as well. But because that's maybe the only access they have, it seems much more focused. Whereas we have access to many different things. Sometimes that happens. So you look and you feel envious. But then you look back at yourself and you feel, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me as well. So it's not kind of a jealous envy, but it's that positive envy that we're speaking about here. Oh wow, I thought we're the only ones who would get this. But look, they've got that, and that's so special, that looks so special, it just looks so great for them. So Allah knows best, because at the end of the day, the martyrs and the prophets, they are the highest of the high. But sometimes what you can have is that you can have certain fada'il like this, certain individual virtues, which really stand out like that and may make other people envious. But regardless of that state, regardless of that situation, it's something that we can definitely hope for when we feed others. The best way to get through to people is by feeding one another, to just have relationship with one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith is also from Tabarani, where he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَبْعَثَنَّ اللَّهُ أَقْوَامًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect a group of people on the Day of Judgment. Everybody is going to be resurrected. This particular group, when they're resurrected, فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ النُّورِ, they'll have light. Their faces will be illuminated, light on their faces. عَلَى مَنَابِرُ اللُّؤْلُؤْ, they will be on stages made of pearl. Allahu Akbar, I wonder how that's going to be. Seating places made of pearl, pure pearl. لَيْسُ بِأَنْبِيَاء وَلَا شُهَدَاء, it's maybe speaking about the same people, because again, these people are not people who are prophets or martyrs. قِيلَ مَنْهُمْ, who are these people, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, الْمُتَحَابُونَ فِي اللَّهِ, people who love one another for the sake of Allah. مِنْ قَبَائِلَ شَتَّى وَبِلَادٍ شَتَّى, from different tribes and from different countries. يَجْتَمِعُونَ عَلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ يَذْكُرُونَ, they come together, they gather together to remember Allah. So this one specifically speaks about coming together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remember Him. Like i'tikaf gatherings, majlis gatherings like this, lectures, bayans, we're getting together with brothers who are not from our own tribe. See, this is very pertinent, less pertinent for us. We don't see the significance that is mentioned here, because we live in a cosmopolitan society. Our family is everybody else. Whereas when we come from a village, The only people you really know, relate to, speak to, trust, walk around with and sit with are people from your tribe generally. It's kind of unusual to sit with other people. But in a cosmopolitan society, this is made up for us, alhamdulillah. It's much easier. Now the only thing that is required is, subhanAllah, in the West that's the case for all of us. This is an, yes, we have a fitna in the West, so we have challenges, but this is a blessing if we have the correct intention. So the only thing that's remaining for us to do is to have the right reason for sitting with people, the right reason for gathering with people. Ramadan is a wonderful time to correct our intention, because there's less of a insinuation of the shaitan to try to corrupt our intention. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and grant us these great virtues and benefits that are mentioned here. He also relates, Imam Tabarani also relates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا يُرَى ظَوَاهِرُهَا مِنْ بَوَاطِنِهَا وَبَوَاطِنُهَا مِنْ ظَوَاهِرِهَا أعدها الله للمتحابين فيه والمتزاورين فيه والمتباذلين فيه. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in Jannah, there are certain chambers, rooms, places. يُرَى ظَوَاهِرُهَا مِنْ بَوَاطِنِهَا. Their external parts can be seen from their insides, and their inside can be seen from their outside. Now, you might say there are privacy concerns here. This is not speaking about, this is beyond the privacy concern. This is craftsmanship. This is master design. The only thing that I can think about that I can relate to is how architects today are trying to create an inside-out design. For example, there is the Lloyd's building, I think that's what it is, where, and then there's a Guggenheim Museum somewhere where they've got all of the plumbing and everything shown on the outside. So it's kind of this really weird idea, and I'm sure this is not that. This is highly elaborate and more complex. It's in Jannah, so it's not something that minds can fathom anyway. You would never see the beauties of the like of this, as the Prophet ﷺ explained. But I'm just trying to give ideas of kind of complex, strange and unusual ideas. So this will be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared these for the people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Those people who visit each other for the sake of Allah. And those people who exert themselves, who go out of their way, put some effort behind one another to help one another. That's what it's about, to put some to help one another. To put yourself into some kind of burden to help somebody else. To take upon oneself this difficulty to help somebody else, they will get this. Imam Bazzar and Abu Shaykh, they relate from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَعُمُدًا مِنْ يَاقُوتٍ عَلَيْهَا غُرَفٌ مِنْ زَبَرْجَدْ لَهَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ تُضِيءُ كَمَا يُضِيءُ الْكَوَاكِبُ الدُّرِّ قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَسْكُنُهَا قَالَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْمُتَبَاذِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْمُتَلَاقُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. Now, how many ahadith we had last session, this session, about love for the sake of Allah, love for the sake of Allah. If only Muslims can listen to these hadith more often, it will create an impact. Because the more you hear something, more you hear. One day it will create that impact. And then our internecine warfare, wars and killing and quarrels and problems can be alleviated to a certain degree when a person does things for the right reason. So this hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that in Jannah there are pillars, supports. Pillars and supports made out of yaqut, which is sapphire. Now, I don't know when the last time you've seen a sapphire stone, but if you actually look at a sapphire stone carefully, it's a really nice, shiny, sparkling blue. There's some ajeeb. It's not like every blue is not the same. Every blue object is not the same. And when you've got a sapphire, which is a precious stone, there's just something strange about it, something very alluring about it that drives our senses. You know, it's just like if I look at wood, it's not the same thing as a sapphire. So this is where the pillars and the supports are made of this sapphire. عليها غرف. So imagine the chambers on top of these pillars. If the pillars are made of sapphire, right? Then imagine the chambers on top of that. The chambers on top of that are made of zabarjad. Now zabarjad is generally translated by people as an emerald. But this is a very specific type of emerald which is specifically found on an island called Zabarjad. I'm not sure exactly how to say that, but it's called the green peridot. So it's a very special green peridot ornament, or rather a stone. لَهَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ. It's got doors that are open. Again, no privacy concerns, because it's a massive, it's not one chamber, you know, in like streets of London where terraced houses. So if you've got your window open or your door open, everybody can see inside. This is speaking about high level stuff. For example, there's these wealthy people who, when they buy a house, literally in Florida and California and other places, they will then go and try to buy up all of the estates, not the houses, the estates around it, so they can have their privacy. Like, you've got no neighbors then, you are your own neighbor. Right? It's already a big estate anyway. They will actually buy out four or five different estates. I think this is what Bill Gates did in Washington State. This is what he did. He just bought out everything around him so he doesn't have any neighbors. His neighbors are like far away, a little town on its own. So this is what we're speaking about. So don't think of this as London. Right, you know, a terraced house or something like that. You leave the doors open. أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ, saying that the doors are open. تُضِيءُ كَمَا يُضِيءُ الْكَوْكَبُ الدُّرِّيِّ. They will sparkle as the sparkling, as the sparkle of this shimmering star. قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَسْكُنُهَا. We ask, Ya Rasulullah, who's going to be living in these homes? قَالَ الْمُتَحَابُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. People who love each other for the sake of Allah. Those who spend for the sake of Allah on each other. And those who meet each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meeting somebody for the sake of Allah. You've got to, sometimes we have big scholars that visit. So you go to visit them purely for the sake of Allah. What else do you, you're not going to get anything out of them. They're not giving out sadaqat. They're not giving out money. But you want to get there, and sometimes they're so busy and there's so many people that all you're going to do is really see him. Sometimes you might get a handshake and that's it. But these are the reasons that there's benefit in even that. And Muslims do this anyway. Believers do this anyway. There's cases in India and Pakistan. It doesn't happen as much here. But you know, trains as they go, they're very long trains. 24-hour train journeys, 36-hour train journeys, you know. What will happen with certain great of the mashayikh who are traveling not very often, and they're going through another province or whatever, people will gather at the station. That station is going to be a stop for 3 minutes. You know, some of the big stations, Surat station in Gujarat or something, Ahmedabad or, you know, Baroda or whatever, you know. People will gather there in their hundreds, and the sheikh will just look out of the window. It's like celebrity culture. You know, in that sense. But we've got a reason for this. We're getting something out of this because there's a sohbah benefit in being in the company of the pious. The mercy descends at that time. Not when you're in the company of a worldly superstar or a musician or something like that, where you can just have bragging rights that I've attended a concert. Right? Subhanallah. So there's a whole difference between those two things. وَرَوَى أَيْضًا وَرُوِيَ رَوَى أَيْضًا Imam Tirmidhi relates, and he says it's a hadith hasan sahih. قال الله تعالى المتحابون في جلالي لهم منابر من نور يغبطهم النبيون والشهداء. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people who love each other for my greatness, they love each other because of my greatness, they recognize that this love is coming from my greatness, for them are these seats of light. The prophets and the martyrs will envy them. Imam Tirmidhi also relates, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, wa lahu mattasab. A person will be with whom he loves on the Day of Judgment. This is a wonderful hadith. And the reason is that when the Sahaba heard this, it's narrated from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Now you know the Sahaba. They of a very special status. They said that, he says that, يَفْرَحُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَرَحًا عَظِيمًا. they got so excited by this hadith. A person will be with whom he loves on the Day of Judgment. They got so happy with this hadith. It says, فَمَا فَرِحْنَا بَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَرْحَنَا بِقَوْلِهِ عُقْعُدْ فَإِنَّكَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. After the fact that we're happy about faith, because if we didn't have faith, we couldn't have all of the bliss of the hereafter. So that's our basic essential honor. Said, after Islam, we were never happy with anything greater than when we were told that you will be with whom you love. Because now we had something to hope for. Now it wasn't just about our actions, but it was also about our emotions and feelings. Of course, emotion and feelings have to be, and that's why the hadith mentions walahu maktasab, and for him is what he has earned. So you can only love people truly and genuinely if you have a true desire. And if you have a true desire, you will generally put it into practice as well. Very few people you'll probably find who absolutely have no practice but have a great love. Right? There's still some hope for them, no doubt. Because that love is a very beneficial thing. But actions are according to intentions. Intentions are very valuable. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't say intentions are just valuable. But actions are according to intention. So action has to be there. But if we have a shortcoming in our action, our intention will make up for it. But there has to be some kind of effort to a certain degree. Imam Tirmidhi also relates, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things, if they're found, three qualities. If you have those qualities, if you develop those qualities, you'll taste the sweetness of faith. You'll have the sweet taste of faith. You have faith, but we don't have the sweet taste of faith. You know, sometimes you eat foods, sometimes it just tastes better than other times. You go to a certain restaurant, Jungle Braai, whatever it is, sometimes it tastes nice, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it tastes nice, sometimes it doesn't. There has to be something in the air, there has to be some kind of ritual about it. There has to be just the right kind of components coming together. So here he's saying that we have faith. But what if we had it where each time you went to eat there, you really, really and thoroughly enjoyed it? Like, really and thoroughly enjoyed it. So likewise, every time we did something for our faith, we really enjoyed it. And it didn't seem like a task. It's all Allah's blessing that in these long 19 hour fasts, Allah still gives us the ability to function. You know, on a normal day, if you haven't eaten for 10 hours, what becomes your state? You don't get that coffee in the morning, you can't work properly. But for some reason in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human being in such a way that the mind, the emotion, the feeling, the adrenaline, everything just falls together to be able to do it. Ask any diabetic, you know, who doesn't have his sugar or food for a while, he's going to have low blood sugar, he's going to be shaking. But in Ramadan, suddenly, a lot of diabetics, except maybe the extreme ones, they're able to deal with it. It's nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and mercy and the sophistication by which He created the human being. But that human being, that sophistication, comes into play when you've got the faith that's attached to it. That faith allows all of these different receptors of the body to come into motion to be in that mode. It's a survival mode in a sense. That's the wonder. You know, we don't need fatwas to say that you can shorten your day of fasting and just go by timing. We don't need those. In fact, in that BBC interview that was mentioned, the scholar is trying to make it easy for the people, and the people are saying it's okay, we don't need it, we get used to it. And these are normal people, not scholars, who are saying this. So what's wrong with the scholars who are trying to mess this system up? As though this is the first time in the world somebody's had it different. Come on, we've got all the... In England and in Norway and all of these countries where this is difficult, we've got the easiest of situations. We've got so much facility. Weather-wise, just amenity-wise, ACs, food, whatever type of food you want, you can choose. You know, in a better diet to be able to sustain yourself. You just need a multivitamin. Multivitamins, you know, this is what I was saying. If somebody is having problems in their fast, take a good multivitamin. Multivitamin, British. Right? multivitamin, a good multivitamin supplement at your suhoor time. Inshallah, you should not a cheap one, a good one. You know, there's some good brands out there, halal, good brands out there. Take one of those and you'll see that you'll be able to sustain yourself much better. It helps, because sometimes our food isn't the right kind of food we eat. We eat these weird carbs and things like that, so they you lose it. So try to eat the best kind of foods at suhoor time. Right? That helps a lot. If somebody's... And the other thing is that in the heat and the long, there are specific narrations mentioned from the Sahaba, from the Tabi'een about this. They would actually try to look for these kind of days to fast, so they would get extra reward. We can't help it, we have to. Right? So, but the fact that if you think, oh Allah, you've told us to do this, we're doing this out of your love, khalas. If this book is telling us about love for one another, for the sake of Allah, then our ibadat has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And suddenly that just makes everything easier. Okay. So finally, another hadith here is... Well, actually, that one he says that when you have these three things, a person will feel the sweet taste of faith. أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. One is that Allah and His Messenger become more beloved to that individual, than anything and anybody else. Clearly, if that's your motivation in life, that Allah and His Messenger become more beloved to you than anybody else, you will feel the sweetness of faith, because they will be the most important things. This is what we're being told. وَإِن يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءُ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And whenever you do love anybody else, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن يَقْرَهَ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ. And a person totally dislikes, the worst thing that could happen to him, he thinks, is that he be returned to kufr, on disbelief, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extracted him from it. He dislikes kufr to that extent for himself. Just as he would dislike to be thrown into the fire. That's how much he feels, I don't want to go close to kufr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, Imam Tirmidhi relates, Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'duhu ba'dan. A believer for another believer is like a complementary structure, or part of the same structure, because each part strengthens the other. That's the way structures are made. They're always interlocked. They're never separate, otherwise it will fall apart. So it's always interlocked. And that's how Muslims need to be interlocked, believers, for the sake of Allah. Ibn al-Najjar relates, Istakthiru min al-Ikhwan. This is a very ajeeb narration. Istakthiru min al-Ikhwan, fa'inna li kulli mu'minin shafa'atan yawm al-Qiyamah. Have a lot of... Take a lot of good friends. Abundantly. Have lots of good brothers. Good sisters for the sisters. Because for every believer, they will have the ability to intercede on the Day of Judgment. So the more good people you're linked with, the more the likelihood that somebody's going to take you in with him. Somebody's going to intercede for you. Because every good believer is going to get an intercession. So have as many good people as you can. And subhanAllah, I've seen people like this. You know, they may be affiliated with one type of da'wah work, but when it comes to pious individuals, they will support everyone. And that's the way it should be. No two work and institutions in Islam should be mutually exclusive. We're all complementary to each other. So we've got one brother in Stamford Hill, mashallah, every visiting scholar, he will insist on hosting him. He will provide his suhoor and iftar in Ramadan. Yeah. There's a certain mindset needed for this. Any new scholar comes to visit in town, a pious individual, a wali of Allah, who's known for wilayah. We don't know the real states of people, but we can only go by this, the apparent. So they will host them, they will meet them, they may, you know, try to kind of strike up a basic kind of relationship with them. So at least on the Day of Judgment, that's going to happen. For example, one of our friends in Mauritania, he this is the kind of individual he is. He knows all of the ulama of the country, you know, in that sense. So there's one place where the Shaykh hadn't even lost his eyesight because of the bad water in town. Because their water was from a kind of just below the ground. It was very bad and, you know, it was causing a lot of problem. So he went, spoke to a few people, his boss and a few people. And his boss, a very wealthy guy, when he heard about this and he had it checked up and everything like that, he, without telling this friend of ours anymore, he just went and had this sent the machinery and everything to have a deep well dug up. Right. Just like that. So sometimes, just putting a word in for somebody, for the sake of some piety or for the sake of some good work, that also carries its dividends. Right. If you can't do it yourself, encourage others to do it. Basically, that's what the point is here. Hakim Tirmidhi relates, نَظْرُ الرَّجُلِ لِأَخِيهِ مِنْ شَوْكٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ اَعْتِكَافِ سَنَةٍ فِي مَسْجِدِ هَذَا. For a person to look at their brother with yearning, this is my brother for the sake of Allah, to have that kind of emotional connection, right? That bonding, says that this is superior to i'tikaf for 1 year in this masjid of mine. Though this may be a weak narration, but it underscores the importance of brotherhood. It underscores the importance of brotherhood even over worship sometimes. Because that's how we function. The better the brotherhood, the more we'll be able to worship. Because what happens is when you have fighting in between brothers, worship loses its flavor. People are deprived of the pleasure of their worship because of the quarrels and the problems and that. A lot of the time you may have noticed the direct effect of this when you've just had an argument or are in argument with somebody, you come to the masjid, you notice that brother, as soon as you start your prayer, shaitan is going to make you think of all of your evidences against him. Your arguments against him. And he spoils your prayer. So if you have brotherhood and it's all nice, then you can sit and focus for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abi Dunya relates, what a name, the son of the father of the dunya. The son of the father of the dunya, Ibn Abi Dunya. That was his name. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he relates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ الْيَوْمَ أُذِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي ظِلِّ الْعَرْشِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّي. My love has become actualized for the people who love one another for my sake. Today I will give them shade in the shade of the arsh on the day of judgment, on the day when there's no shade except my shade. Ibn Abi Dunya also relates in the hadith that anybody who starts a brotherly relationship with somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him an extra status in Jannah. So for every brotherly relationship we strike up for the sake of Allah, Allah will give us a status in Jannah for that. So the more you love people for the sake of Allah, the higher you'll be in Jannah. It's totally logical. Because you'll just do more good that way anyway. Just be engender more good in the community. He also relates, أَصِبْ بِطُعَامِكَ مَنْ تُحِبْ فِي اللَّهِ. Have your food given, meaning make sure your food is given to those or eaten by those who you love for the sake of Allah. So don't do it for the wrong motive. When you take people out to a restaurant or feed them, do it for the right reason. That's what should be the right reasons for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. People have related that when you're on a travel, the best one is the person who takes food with him to give to others on a travel. Because generally on a journey, you may have all the food at home, but on a journey people aren't always very prepared. Especially people who aren't used to traveling so often, they come unprepared. And then they get hungry. And sometimes if you get caught up in some airports, like I remember in Addis Ababa, very big airport, but you can hardly get any decent food on the airport, right? You know, unlike other airports where there's so much food, you can't even get a basic center. There's a bar and stuff, but there's no basic center. And you can feel the value of food at that time. And I had a companion, mashallah, I had given all my food out, say, on my journey. And on the way back, I didn't have much, but alhamdulillah, there was a companion with me and he pulled out some bags and said, mashallah. You know, Hakim narrates, Hakim An-Nisaburi, he relates, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Mutahabuna fi ala manabir min nur, yadbituhum bi makanim al-Nabiyun al-Siddiqun wa-Shuhada. Another hadith related, similar to the one about the prophets and the Shuhada, they are envious of these people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Imam Bayhaqi relates, Man ahabba an yajida ta'am al-Iman, whoever wants to gain the taste of Iman, then he should love somebody, la yuhibbuhu illa lillah, purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think there's two narrations left. Imam Bayhaqi also relates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي لَأَهَمُّ بِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ عَذَابًا. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes I feel like punishing a certain group of people for something wrong they've done. Right? I feel like punishing a certain group of people. I have this feeling of punishing them. I want to do it. فَإِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ عُمَّارِ بُيُوتِي وَالْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ. But then suddenly I see among them people who are inhabiting my houses, the masajid. I see among them people who go and frequent the masajid, and people who love each other for my sake. وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. And people who are making istighfar in the depths of the nights. صَرَفْتُ عَذَابِي عَنْهُمْ. I avert my punishment from them. So people who love each other for Allah's sake, who come to the masjid and visit the masjid and, you know, are in the masjid and who are making istighfar at sahri time, the hajj time, they are protectors for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the punishment away. We need more people like this to keep the punishment away. There are many, many other narrations. And may Allah thank Imam Sha'rani that he's brought these to our notice and he's collected them together from these different books. May Allah give us the tawfiq to love each other for the sake of Allah, to gather for the sake of Allah. And this much is sufficient. Tomorrow inshallah we'll be looking at the perspective of ulama and the sulaha and the pious people on what they think of this and their practical ideas of how to increase love for one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allahumma anta as-salam wa anka as-salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. Oh Allah, it's the first day of Ramadan for us. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, you made us Muslims. Oh Allah, this is a great honor, great barakah, great blessing. And you have above that given us the tawfiq to do these acts of making salat in the masjid. And oh Allah, for fasting for you. Oh Allah, make this fasting truly for you. Oh Allah, every moment that we feel a pang of thirst or hunger or tiredness or fatigue or dryness or heat, oh Allah, allow us to remember you at that time and do this purely for your sake. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, grant us around us people who are conducive to worshipping you. Oh Allah, remove any obstacles and problems and challenges from our life. Oh Allah, we ask you for the protection from all of the evil that is out there, that may help, that may stop us from worshipping you, that may stop us from revering you, from honoring you. Oh Allah, we ask that you keep yourself highest in our mind. Oh Allah, and you make your obedience beloved to our hearts and your disobedience hated in our hearts. Oh Allah, we ask that you make our hearts the way you want them to be. And you accept our worships during this month in the fullest manner. Oh Allah, regardless of their defect and our shortcoming, which is truly, truly our state. Our state is a state of shortcoming. Our state is a state of defects and weakness and problems. But oh Allah, we know that you're the majestic Lord. You're the generous Lord. You're the honorable and benevolent Lord. Oh Allah, we ask that you treat us with your benevolence and your mercy, especially during this month. And oh Allah, allow all of the worships that we do, oh Allah, to affect our hearts in a positive way and to build our hearts and to clear and purify our hearts so that for even the months after Ramadan, we are protected and we stay close to you. Oh Allah, let this Ramadan not just be a month after which we become the same again, but oh Allah, let our barakat of this month prosper throughout. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us the kalima La ilaha illallah on our deathbed. And you bless all those who are here, all those who are listening wherever and who may listen in the future. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept our good deeds in this month and you give us tawfiq to do even more. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi.